One of the things we've been wanting to catch up with you on is your terrific new book came out this year called A Legend, The Legends Club, which profiles the three extraordinary basketball coaches, all who coached against each other in the ACC, Dean Smith, Coach K, and Jim Valvano. And a terrific book, certainly Jim Valvano, well known in this area, New Rochelle, from coaching and making a name for himself at Iona. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book, The Legends Club.
Well, basically, Ken, I as I've said to many people, I wasn't born to write this book, but I lived it. I was covering the ACC for the Washington Post in the 1980s when Dean Smith was at his zenith, when Jim Valvano had his 11-year run at NC State that included the national championship in 83, and when Mike Krzyzewski was building his program to the point where they started going to Final Fours in 1986, 88, 89, and then, of course, became the dynasty that they've been for the last 25 years of the 1990s. So I knew all three men well. I spent hours and hours with Krzyzewski, hours and hours with Valvano. Not as much time with Dean Smith because he was more of an introvert, but still probably spent more time with him than anybody in the media. And it was during a conversation I had with Mike Krzyzewski when we were talking about both Jim Valvano and Dean Smith that it occurred to me that I had witnessed something remarkable with the three of them coaching within 25 miles of one another in the same conference, playing each other two or three times every year, recruiting against each other. And I said, this is a book I should do. And even though I could not talk to Dean or Jim, I did spend a great deal of time with Mike. And I was fortunate that Dean and Jim's families, their wives, Jim's brothers in particular, were very, very helpful to me. And I'm a hoarder, so I still
and
had
John,
all my notes.
John, you're going to have to hold your thought there. John, you're going to have to hold your thought there. We have to take a Fox News break. We'll get back to you right after this. You're listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report here on WVOX 1460 AM. We'll be back with John Feinstein right after a brief Fox News break, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Sons of the American Legion radio report on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. Joining us on the line is author John Feinstein. And John Charan, I believe you had a question for him?
I did. And John, I was wondering, you know, we were talking about Army before. We're talking about your new book about the three great ACC basketball coaches. Do you think that the time that Mike Krzyzewski spent as an assistant, where he and Bobby Knights were assistants up here at West Point, do you think that that had any major influence on him later on as a head coach down at Duke?
Mike Krzyzewski has said often that his whole experience at West Point has influenced everything that he is as a coach and as a man, dating back to his plebe year when he learned the three answers that plebes at West Point are allowed when addressing upperclassmen: yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir. And he has always taken the approach as a coach that there's no excuse, that if you lose, if you fail, it's your fault. You don't blame it on the officials. You don't blame it on the other team. You give credit to the other team. You don't even blame it on your players because you're the one who recruited those players. You blame it on yourself. And he has, in my opinion, used failure as a coach better than anybody I've ever met. That when he fails, rather than, again, make excuses, he says, okay, how do I get better? And to the point where as recently as 2014, when his team lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament to Mercer, he went and looked in the mirror and said, I have to reboot. I have to realize this isn't 1980 when I first got to Duke or even 1976 when I became the coach at Army. I have to get more involved with social media, with my players. I have to understand that one and done is here to stay, and I'm going to have to coach those players and try to make them better quickly if I'm going to succeed. And a year later, he won his fifth national championship, in large part because he changed his approach to coaching, even though he was already one of the greatest coaches of all time.
And we're talking with John Feinstein, one of America's leading authors and writer for the Washington Post. And John, one of the coaches that you profile in the Legends Club was Dean Smith, a true legend at the University of North Carolina. I saw him one time come into Providence, Rhode Island, when I was a student at Providence College for a game where he coached against Dave Gavitt right after a blizzard. And that game, Providence managed to pull out a win. And I remember seeing Dean Smith in the lobby afterwards looking a little stunned, like, why in the world did he ever agree to Dave Gavitt's request to come up to Providence for a game? But you got to tell the Dean Smith story about what he did to integrate a restaurant when he was still an assistant coach at North Carolina.
Yeah, well, the reason, Ken, that Dean would have played that game was that he and Dave Gavitt were close friends. And I have no doubt he did that as a favor to Dave Gavitt, because obviously having North Carolina come into Providence and play in the Civic Center, now I guess the Dunkin' Donuts Arena, was a big deal for Providence, even though Dave was highly successful himself. But when Dean Smith first got to North Carolina as an assistant coach under Frank McGuire in 1958, he was stunned to learn that his new hometown, Chapel Hill, was still segregated. His father had coached the first integrated high school team in Kansas to make it to the state tournament. And to Dean, integration was an absolute. And it never occurred to him that he lived in any way differently. And when he realized that wasn't the case, he went to his minister in Chapel Hill, a man named Robert Seymour, and said, what should we do about this? And Reverend Seymour suggested that Dean, because he was well known in that small town, even as an assistant coach, although he clearly wasn't Dean Smith yet in all capital letters, that he go into a segregated restaurant with a black member of the church. And Dean did that. And, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen. He could have been arrested. He could have been fired. Anything could have happened. But he did it. And the management did recognize him. And they served him. And they served his friend. And that began integration in Chapel Hill restaurants. And Dean Smith never talked about it publicly. I only found out about it 23 years later from Reverend Seymour, not from Dean. And when I went back to ask Dean about it, I was working on a profile on him for the Washington Post. He said, who told you that story? And I said, well, Reverend Seymour did. And he said, I wish he hadn't told you. And I said, why, Dean? You should be proud of doing something like that. And he looked at me and he said, John, you should never be proud of doing the right thing. You should just do the right thing. And that's a hell of a way to live your life, by those words. And I know he did, and I wish more of us did that. That just did the right thing because it was the right thing, not because we expected anything in return. That's the way Dean Smith lived his life.
Well, what an extraordinary American Dean Smith was, coach and educator in the true sense. We have a lot
of. I served in the Air Force, by the way.
And an Air Force.
He's also, like Mike Krzyzewski, Dean Smith also served overseas.
And we're talking with John Feinstein. And John, if you would, talk a little bit about Jim Valvano. Many people in New Rochelle remember him from a couple of great years he had at Iona College with Jeff Rulin and Kevin Hamilton and Steve Vickers, a great Iona team. Tell us a little bit about him. He wrote that he was such a good extrovert and such a good recruiter that he really captivated people.
Well, he was the most naturally extroverted person I think I've ever met, along with David Faraday, the golf announcer. He was just incredibly comfortable with people, a great storyteller, quick-witted. Linnea Smith, Dean Smith's wife, said that when Jim came into a room, he didn't take over the room, he became the room. And I think that's a pretty good description. He used to stay up very late at night when he was the coach at NC State, because coaches can never sleep after a game, and just sit around and tell stories. And some of them were true, others may not have been true, but they're all very funny and entertaining. But when he got serious, you realize that there was much more to him than just the guy with the great sense of humor. He won the national championship at 37. No coach under the age of 40 has won a national title since then. And he went looking for the next thing in life. He felt like he had done basketball. And that's when things kind of spiraled a little at NC State toward the end of his time there. And then, tragically, the next thing for him was cancer. When he was diagnosed in 1992 and realized he didn't have long to live, he organized the V Foundation. He enlisted people like Mike Krzyzewski, like John Saunders, like many other close friends in coaching, to carry on after Dick Vitale should be mentioned too, very prominently, to carry on for him after he passed away. And as I think you know, Ken, the V Foundation has raised more than $100 million to fight cancer since Jim's death. And Mike Krzyzewski likes to say, as great a job as he did in 1983 when NC State won the national championship, Jim Valvano's greatest coaching job was when he organized the V Foundation while he was dying.
Absolutely. We brought a Providence College ROTC color guard to a Jimmy V Foundation game down in Madison Square Garden about 10 years ago. And the nice story about it was after the color guard presented colors in front of all the ESPN announcers, all their VIPs, I was with them walking off the court, and there were two women carrying the rifles. And one of them says to the other, "Could you see my shoulder shaking out there?" Now, one of those two women ended up becoming a helicopter pilot flying all over Iraq and Afghanistan, and a reputation which she got some people out of a tough spot one day. So it's that's a wonderful charity. We're talking with John Feinstein. Just tell us about some of your projects you're working on. I know you've got a line of children's books that are terrific.
Yeah. Well, thanks for mentioning it, Ken, because I have a new kid's book that is actually coming out tomorrow. It's called The D.H., It's a baseball book, obviously. It's the third in a series about a high school freshman who is a three-sport athlete, which, as you know, we don't see much of anymore. I'm trying to make a point that kids don't need to obsess. Their parents don't need to obsess with one sport, that they can play, not work at, play different sports. And I try to make each of these books, I've written 10 of them now, entertaining, but also carry a little bit of message for the kids who are reading them, usually middle schoolers and up. And this one comes out tomorrow. As I said, it's called The DH. It's part of the Triple Threat series, football, basketball, baseball, that this young man, Alex Myers, plays in the books. And I'm working right now on a book on this year's Ryder Cup that will be out at this time next fall. I'm actually on my way to go to the golf tournament in Indianapolis tomorrow, and then on to Hazeltine, which is where the Ryder Cup will be held at the end of this month, just to see the golf course and get a feel for the place before the matches actually begin.
Well, that should be terrific. And John Feinstein, we appreciate you taking time to talk with us here on WVOX and Sons of American Legion Radio, and we'll look forward to seeing you at an Army game very soon.
Yep, I'll be up there in mid-October once the Ryder Cup is over, Ken, so I look forward to seeing you up there.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much. Drive safe, and we'll see you down the college football season, and enjoy the Ryder Cup.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay.